Thank you for joining us today. As Associate Pastor David shares the Word of God, our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Associate Pastor David with today's message.
Well, welcome to church graduation Sunday. What a special Sunday for us as a church. What an exciting time for all of our graduates. In fact, if you are a graduate, whether it was kindergarten or high school or grad school or college undergrad or Leaders Academy or anything else in the whole world that you could possibly graduate from in this season, we would like for you to stand. We want to honor you for all of our graduates, anybody from any school, anywhere, wherever you went to school. Awesome. Awesome. You can be seated. Well, every graduate in here deserves honor. Every single graduate in here deserves honor. You deserve honor because you finished what you started. Way too many people are starting things and don't finish them today. There's way too many emotional starts and way too few committed finishes. And I love what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who long for his appearing. See, Paul says here, when you fight the good fight in life, when you finish the race, when you keep the faith, there is a reward. See, there's a reward for finishing the race, and every graduate right now is receiving that reward. It's exactly what you guys are receiving. This message this morning is not just for graduates. This is for all of us in all that we do. See, we all want a reward. You know, we just sometimes forget to do what it takes to get one. We all want a reward. In fact, I remember as a kid, and you do too, being at award ceremonies and thinking in my mind, you know, I hope I get an award. And as I would watch people go and get awards, I kind of knew in the back of my mind I really didn't deserve one because I didn't exactly do what they did in order to get that award. But we still all want awards. You know, when they're handing out Dad of the Year awards, I'm always wanting to be right there at the front for my kids to honor me with that award every year. But you know, in the back of my mind, I got to ask myself, am I being the dad that I need to be for them? You know, I always want to be right there for my wife to hand me that Husband of the Year award. You know, I want to see those just lined up year after year on the wall. You know, when they're giving out Son-in-Law of the Year award, which obviously, Pastor Tim would tell you I deserve every year, but you know, we all have areas of our life that God wants to reward us in, but are we fighting the good fight? Are we finishing the race in those areas? You know, I was thinking about what is a graduation. You know, graduation is a delineation mark. It's a delineation mark from one stage to the next. And I think it's vital that we understand that every single one of us in this room is in a stage of life. And you know what? Whether we just graduated or not, we're always moving toward graduation in a stage. You know, as parents, Melissa and I are in the stage of we've got middle-aged kids here. And I can tell you, we are following Pastor Tim's parenting series to the letter. When he said you're working your way out of a job, we're working real hard to get out of this job of parenting. I'm telling you. And that's just the stage that we're in right now. Others in here are in a different stage. The young married phase, the young adult phase, the kids in the home phase, or no kids in the home phase, the grandparenting phase. Yeah, I don't care where you're at. Everybody in here is in a stage of life. And here's my point. And one of our seniors last Friday night spoiled one of my lines, but I guess just shows the mentor that I am in their lives, that it's written on their hearts after I complete chapel. So I see it, choose to see it like that. But every stage of life is an opportunity, not a guarantee. And my question for everyone in this room is this: what are you doing with your opportunity? See, this graduation sermon, oh, I'm going to a graduation sermon for all these graduates. Isn't that cute? That's for them. No, that's for every single one of us in this room. We all have opportunities right now. We are all heading toward graduations of different phases in our lives. The question is, what are we doing with our opportunities? And with your life right now, every one of us in this room, we either believe that we matter or we believe that we don't. And this will be obvious with how we're approaching the different areas of our lives. You know, is your job something that you just show up for and you complain about all those special people that you have to work with every day? Or is your job something that you show up to answer the call of God on your life? See, are we just, for the parents in here, are we just keeping our kids fed and clothed and safe and trying to play 60 with them every day? Or are we raising them up and training them and sending them out to be who God's called them to be? Even being here at church today, are we just here because it's the religious good person Christian thing to do? Or did we come to church today because we're wanting to get filled up in order to minister to people this next week? See, some people just go through life and they occupy some space. But you know what? God has put us here on this earth to live life on purpose. Life was meant to be lived on purpose. We're not an accident. And we're not just here to pay some bills and do the American dream. God created us to make a difference here on this earth. And no matter what stage of life you're in, your life always matters. What you do always matters, and it matters because you have a purpose and people are watching you. Now, some people don't study. Why? Because they don't think it matters if they study. Some people say, I'm going to quit my job. Why? Because they don't think it matters for them to be in their job. Some people are giving up on their marriage. Why? Because they don't think it matters that they stay together. And this is why we have some of the problems that we have in life. But you know, Proverbs 29:18 is such a key verse for us. It says, for a lack of a vision, people perish. And you show me areas in people's lives that are dying, and I'll show you where they don't have a vision for that area. Because when you have a vision for your life, in whatever area you're in, you're thriving in that area. When you have a vision for your marriage, for your job, for your mate, for your finances, you will see those areas thriving. But when they're dying, it's because we've lost our vision. But you can write this down. No one is going to do nothing. No one's going to sit around and do nothing. Everyone is going to do something. But the question is it going to be productive or is it going to be destructive? No one is going to do nothing. You know, I love asking people all the time, what'd you do this last week? Nothing. Really? You laid in your bed. You didn't even sleep. You didn't even eat. You did nothing? That's impossible. We're all going to do something. The question is it going to be productive? Or is it going to be destructive? See, as a dad, I want to produce something in my daughter's life. I want to produce something in my son's life. But you know, in the family units today, we're seeing way too many young people being destroyed by families instead of being produced by families. Come on, you watch the news today. You watch the news today and you see people out rioting and they're mad at this and they're throwing police cars over and rocks and looting businesses. And you know what thought comes to my mind? Is who has time for that? I got no time for that. Who's got time for that? I don't have 3 days to take off my job to go and do that. But see, the thing is, we're going to do something. Everybody is going to do something, but is it going to be productive or not? See, when we don't have a purpose, we make one up. We do pointless and sometimes very stupid things when we're not walking in their purpose. See, far too many people are just existing. They're average. They're taking up space. They're doing nothing. But that's not why God created us here on this earth. And I want every graduate in this room to understand that God created you for a purpose, and you're always to be working toward that purpose. Anyone can do nothing. Anyone can do nothing. That's easy. But God has called us to do great things. Since this is a graduation sermon, I want to do a very educational 1, 2, 3, 4. It's got to be like a classroom setting here today. And I know Paul feels the same way as he gave the charge last night. We haven't told them everything that we have. So I got to give them one last lesson here. And I want to look at four keys today to living a life on purpose. To living a life of purpose. Because I don't care where we're at today, we're in a stage of life. And God's called us to fulfill the purpose that we were born to fulfill on this earth. Four keys to living a life on purpose. Key number one is you never graduate to do nothing. You never graduate to doing nothing. See, until we make it to heaven and Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," we have a purpose here on this earth. I don't care who you are in this room. God has not called you to graduate into nothing. I think this is the temptation that we can all fall into in every stage of life. See, for all the high school graduates in this room, see, I finished high school. I made it. I'm done. It's over. Now I can take it easy and do nothing and stop studying. No, that's not it at all. For all of our interns, I've seen it. They've been in this internship, and they've been to morning prayer in their mornings, and they've worked hard, and they've studied, and they've been faithful to church, and they've had the right friends and had the right input. Now that I'm graduating from this internship, I can take it easy, and it doesn't matter if I plug into church. See, God has never called us to take it easy. Well, my kids are out of the house. Well, now I'm retired. Well, now I'm married. I don't have to date my mate. See, that's the wrong mentality. That's the wrong mentality. We're never to graduate and do nothing. See, the truth is we never graduate from God's call on our life, God's purpose on our life. And what we don't realize is the same hard work that got you to graduation is the same hard work and the same mentality that you're going to have in this next stage of life. In this next phase of life, we've never been called to let up. And I think about Jan Crochet in our church, a retired teacher. She taught for 35 years before she retired. And this last year, she approached us at CMA, and she said, "Look, I've done this my whole life. I'd love to be able to offer my giftings and my services to the school here." And she's been helping those who have struggled in reading at our school this last year. Absolutely. Absolutely, Jan. See, just because she finished one stage didn't mean she was done being used by God. In fact, what a vital piece of the puzzle that she is and able to do with where she's at in her stage of life. See, everyone graduates because they had a purpose. And sometimes we don't realize that we're also graduating to a purpose. Now, graduation does mark the end of one stage, but it marks the beginning of the next. And for all of our graduates sitting here, now I didn't get to give the charge last night, I wasn't asked to, but if I did, and if I was, you are now taking the steering wheel of life. And my question for you is this: where are you going to drive your car? Will you end up in a ditch somewhere in a month? Will you park your car along the side of the road and go nowhere? Will you end up somewhere 10 years down the road that you've got to turn around and come back in order to get on the right path and you've lost a lot of time? Or will you be heading in God's desired direction, building on all that was built on your life this last year? And will you in 6 months still be unrecognizable from what you are today because you continue to grow? See, that's what we've heard from all your family is, "I don't even recognize who is this, but I don't even recognize them because of all the growth." See, that's to be a lifestyle, not a moment that you had here at Applied Life. But you know, it all depends on what your GPS is set on. For our pastor, your map and your compass and following the stars. And you know, but it all depends on what... Is it setting in the west or the east or the... I don't know. I've got a GPS right here. Sorry. See, it all depends on what it all depends on what it is set on. You know, I love graduation because it's a great timeout for all of us. It's not only are we telling them they need to grab the steering wheel of their lives, where are we steering our lives? What is our GPS set on? Yeah, I don't know about you, but sometimes Siri gets mad at me. You know, U-turn immediately, U-turn immediately, turn around now, you idiot, turn around now. I don't know, I get gas and she gets mad at me. Please get back on the road. I got to have some gas here. Come on. But see, this is a good thing for all of us to take a little time out and, oh yeah, they need to be reflecting, but you know, we need to be reflecting. And I'm glad we do this every year because it allows us to ask, are we where we are at? Are we steering this thing? Do we need to U-turn immediately? You know, it's important for us to understand that just because our lives are in motion doesn't mean we're making progress. A lot of people are busy going nowhere and doing nothing, but they feel like they're going somewhere. The first key to graduation is we have to realize you never graduate to doing nothing. The second key to living life on purpose and having a vision for your life is never stop being a student. Never stop being a student. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and men. See, Jesus was the ultimate student. He was always learning and growing. And that's exactly what God has called us to be, is to be a student our whole lives. See, a student is always growing. And growth is a habit that has to be maintained. It won't just happen naturally. Growth is a habit that has to be maintained. See, sitting here in church is not the same as being a student and looking to grow. Anybody can sit in church, but it doesn't mean we're growing in church. See, hearing wisdom is not the same as making wise decisions. We're good at asking for wisdom, but we're not so good at applying that wisdom that we give. You know, it's very easy to get to a place in life where we fold our arms and we want someone to impress us. Otherwise, we're just going to stay like we are and where we're at. But you know, the second we stop being a student is the second we stop advancing in school. It's the second that our life stays right where it's at, goes nowhere further, and we accomplish nothing else and affect no one else from that point forward. But you know, as we continue to grow, as we continue to stay open to God taking us to new levels, that's when we go to new levels and affect new people. See, what areas right now are we growing in, or what areas right now do we need to grow in? For some reason, we just get set in our ways. I want to encourage you, if you're going to accomplish the purpose that God's called you to accomplish, we cannot stop being a student. The third key to living a life on purpose is to guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. And I love what he says, above all else. There's nothing more important. And then he goes on to say, for it determines the course of your life. See, our purpose, our accomplishing our purpose is solely dependent on our heart. It's solely dependent on our protection of that heart. And to quote our amazing pastor, who I continue to brag on this morning, people twist off because they don't guard our heart. And I thank him for adding that to my dictionary. But people twist off because they don't guard their heart. Come on, church, we gotta guard our heart. Frustration is a part of life, but that's not a deal breaker. That's not a reason to quit and fold our tent and take our ball, pout, and go home. Hurt is very sad, and it is very hard. It's a very hard part of life. And if we don't guard our heart, hurt will be a deal breaker. There's always a reason to get offended by someone. This is a part of life. But church, this is not a reason to quit on life. This is not a reason to quit on God's call. And I know that there are deep hurts that have happened to many people in this room. And we have to guard our hearts on these moments. But more than deep hurts, I tell you what I see is a lot of silly, petty, small, dumb things that determine people's courses in lives. There is just too much pettiness today. I can't take it. You know, a coach I used to coach with says you just choose not to take it. And I guess I just choose not to take it. But I can't take it. We're just too sensitive. We're too touchy. I mean, one thing that happens and we take to social media to get people to champion our dumb cause, and all we are is distracted from the course. And I tell you, we've taken the bait of Satan right there, and he's laughing all the way to us getting off course. Come on, church, we got to actually live the word and forgive and forget and move on. Too many petty things. I do want to tell you it's okay to take out your phones and erase your status right now if you feel convicted. So, but we have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our hearts. Why? Because Proverbs says it determines your course. It determines your journey. See, graduation to the next stage is determined directly in turns by how much you guard your heart. It's directed directly to all you married couples in here, to whether you celebrate that 15, that 20, that 30-year anniversary, by how much you guard your heart. I watch students that don't guard their heart and they quit studying. Why? Because they don't care anymore. I see marriage, they don't guard their heart and they quit trying in their marriage. Why? Because they didn't guard their heart. I see college students that don't guard their heart. And I see this liberal, anti-biblical worldview take hold of them, and they begin to champion something that simply took them because they did not guard their heart. See, it says right here in Proverbs, above all else. What does that mean? Above your offense. What does that mean? Above your frustration. Yes, yes, you know, you're right. You're right, and you can tell your story over and over and over again, and you are justified to tell that story. You were wrong. It was said wrong. You were done wrong. They were mean. They were awful. But you know what? I love that we have heroes in the Bible that we can look to. Joseph was done wrong. Daniel was done wrong. David was done wrong. David's own dad. Come on, think about it. When dude comes to your house and says, let me have your sons to see who's the next king, and your own dad, see, your own dad's supposed to believe in you when you really don't need to be believed in, but his dad did not. Come on, we can see the Apostle Paul. So the Bible is full of those who could have been offended, who were left out, who were frustrated. But see, Proverbs says above all of that, we got to guard our heart if we're going to accomplish our purpose. And if we're not called to a purpose, that's fine. It doesn't matter what you do, but that's not what God says about every single one of us in this room. I want to end with the fourth point today, because I think it's easy to discredit these three if you don't feel like your life has a purpose. I think it's very easy to say, you know what? You never graduate to doing nothing. I think that works for those who do have a purpose. But see, my life doesn't matter like so-and-so's does. So number one, doesn't matter for me. Number two, never stop being a student. That's great for those who God's got a great plan for their life, but he doesn't have one for mine, so that one doesn't apply to me. Or number three, guard your heart. See, I don't need to guard my heart because I don't have a purpose. And see, that's what happens. The enemy comes in and he discredits us. He tells us we're too young or we're too old or our past is too terrible or we're not smart enough or pretty enough. And what we do is we start looking to the one next to us and we can see their purpose, but we don't see ours. Turn to John chapter 6. I want to bring all this together today. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. I want to look at Jesus feeding the 5,000. In John chapter 6, verse 1, it says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him. Jesus was a tough mentor, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Verse 10, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. The men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Yeah, I love this story because here was Jesus and the disciples in this predicament. There were people that were hungry and they needed to be fed. And Jesus asked the question of the disciples, what do we have? He said, he looked at the disciples and he said, what do we have? And what was their response? All we have, right? All we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, basically, what were they telling Jesus? We don't have anything. See, we don't have anything. Jesus said, what do we have? We don't have anything. You know what Jesus said? Perfect. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. And then he took what they had and he blessed it, multiplied it, and used it to feed the 5,000. My 4th point today, if we're going to accomplish our purpose, is we've got to give what we have to God. See, the problem in life for many people is we don't see what we have. See, we see, well, all I have is this. All I am is this. See, I don't have their personality. I don't have their job, their money, their charisma. Well, I don't have their path. You don't understand. And what we do is we discredit ourselves. And here's what else we do is we say, well, I don't have this or I don't have that. Here's what we need to know is if God needed you to have that, he would have given it to you. But God doesn't need you to have something you don't have to use you. In fact, God wants to take what you have and multiply it in order for you to be used for his kingdom. And the truth is, none of us are anything. Anybody that you see that's doing anything special, they are simply someone who took what they had, gave it to Jesus, and he multiplied it in their life. So I want everybody in here to stop looking in the mirror and seeing nothing. I want everybody in here to quit looking at the person next to them and saying, I don't have what they have. And that's true, you don't. But God doesn't need that. And if he needed it, he would have given it to you. But what God needs you to do is take what you have, where you're at, give it to him, and be used right where you're at to change the lives of the people around you. At your job, in your circle, in your community, wherever you're at. Bring it to God. Right now, I want to ask you, what are you doing with what you have? I want to ask you, what are you doing with what you have? I want to ask you, what do you have? Do you have a job? Awesome. Use that. What do you have? Do you have a hobby? Awesome. Use that. Are you still in school? Use that. Do you know people? Use that. Do you have kids? Use that. Wherever you're at, use what you have for God's glory. I want everybody in here today to know what you have is all you need. Stop looking in the mirror and being disappointed. See, when you don't do anything with what you have, then it looks like you have nothing. But that's not true. God wants to take what you have and use it. Today, as we honor our graduates, I want all of us to think about the fact that life is an opportunity. What are you doing with yours? Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.